Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Naked Englishman. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life. Thank you for joining me on the 2nd of August, 2025. It's 6:30. Looks like a nice morning. Whether it stays like that or clouds over is anyone's guess. We know what goes on. I've made myself a cup of coffee and I'm going to have a slurp of it. I wanted to tell you about a book. Now, I have to be honest, somebody said they were sending me these books, and I cannot for the life of me remember who it was. There might be a letter that came with it that I have misplaced. But anyway, this book, and so I do apologise, and I need to look in my emails, but it's 6:30 in the morning, I haven't turned the computer on yet. Oh, actually, before I do that, before I get to that, I must turn the internet on. The reason I have to keep turning the internet on now is it takes about three or four minutes, anyway, to connect. And it's just irritates me if I forget to do it when I turn the computer on. It's nice to turn it on now, do the Naked Englishman. Now, when I turn the computer on, it connects immediately to the internet, which is a handy thing. So, anyway, there we are, done that. So this book, there were two. Another one was called Self-Sufficiency by John Seymour. Julia's taken that to have a read. I've actually got a version of that, and I read it several years ago. And it's worth reading again at some point. But this one's called How to Store Your Garden Produce, The Key to Self-Sufficiency by Piers Warren, if you're interested. It says on the back, this is the modern guide to storing, preserving your garden produce, enabling you to eat homegrown goodness all year round. The easy-to-reference section provides storage and preservation techniques. Sorry, early in the morning, I kept thinking, what's that got to do with it? Oh, yes, but that's what we're talking about. Techniques for the majority of plant produce commonly known in gardens and allotments. Why is storing your garden produce the key to self-sufficiency? It says because less than an acre of garden you can grow enough produce to feed a family of four for a year, but as much of the produce will ripen simultaneously in the summer without proper storage. Most of it will go to waste and you will be off to the supermarket again. Learn simple and enjoyable techniques for storing your produce and embrace the wonderful world of self-sufficiency. And that is what this is all about. I don't know if this is an American book or an English book. Who knows? But we'll soon find out when they start talking about their vegetables. So, where was this published? Let me just give you an idea. 2008, it was first published by Green Books Limited in Devon. Chances are, he's an English bloke. Anyway, so what are we looking here? It talks about the methods and then the produce. So we've got general guidelines, basic storage, clamping, freezing, drying, vacuum packing and salting, bottling, pickling with pickles and chutneys, relishes and ketchups, jams and jellies, fruit butters and cheese, and fermentation or fermenting. And then it talks about all the different produce that you can have. I'll read a few of them. Apples, artichokes, asparagus, broad beans, runner beans, French beans, beetroots, blackberries, black currants, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbages, carrots, cauliflower, etc. It goes on right the way through. Gooseberries, herbs, horseradish, kale, leeks, lettuces, melons, onions, parsnips, peppers. There's more. I'm missing loads out. Rhubarb, spinach, strawberries, sweet corn and turnips. So let's just have a quick look at one of the methods here. Sorry, I just wanted to tell you about this book because I'll tell you what I've been up to yesterday, but not a lot, you see. So general guidelines, really, is harvest produce for storage in its general peak condition. Handle produce carefully. bruised fruit and veg will rot quickly. If you have to process your produce in some way before storing it, for in other words, freezing it like peas, do this immediately after the harvest. Some varieties store better than others. If you're growing some crops for storage, research the varieties best first. Do not store near strong-smelling substances or hazardous chemicals. Right, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Creosote-flavoured potatoes are not my favourite. Right, but that's an interesting point, isn't it? Because people forget. Plus the fact that creosote's no longer... I don't think you could buy creosote, apparently. Oh, excuse me. I had a long dream last night, which I remember quite vividly, about my roof leaking and having to go to a shop to buy some black tar and various stuff to paint on it. It was quite a bizarre dream. I hope it's not an omen. But it's not raining today. Rain was pouring through this hole like bilio. Always label any stored produce with a description of contents and date the preserving and storing. Well, that makes a lot of sense because you could probably go, oh, I wonder how old this is. Plan what you store and therefore what you grow according to your family's tastes. There's little point in storing 20 pumpkins if your family is bored with eating them after two or three. Well, that's true. The priority should be to eat the freshest produce while fresh and then store the excess. If you have a freezer full of year-old broccoli, you simply have grown too much broccoli. As well as storage techniques, extend your growing season, if you can, using a greenhouse, a polytunnel and cold frames. You'll be eating fresh produce for longer and you can grow a wider range of varieties. Now that's actually quite interesting because I, at this stage, don't really understand. I didn't know that. I suppose it's obvious that you could grow things a little longer in season because if you put them in a polytunnel, they'll last longer. I suppose I used to think of polytunnels as just a just slightly larger greenhouse, in that you would grow certain products. Produce, but mainly it was for seeds. So I've obviously got that wrong. And then when I think about it, people put tomatoes and basil, don't they, in a greenhouse. So presumably that is just to grow them longer in the season. I just thought because we didn't have enough sun. So there's a lot to learn here. Right. So that was your general principles. Shall we have a little bit look a little bit more? So basic storage. I mean, there's obviously specific things like clamping. I don't even know what that is. So basic storage. Let's have a quick look at this. In some cases, the very simplest form of storage is to leave it to nature. Various crops like leeks, for example, can be left in the ground until required. I've often harvested perfectly good leeks in May that were sown 12 months earlier. Right, well, I guess that, you know, you're still at fear that the rabbits or other predators might get to it. Of course, the vegetable has to be frost hardy to survive the winter. So in many other cases, it's better to harvest the produce when it's in peak condition and place it in an environment where long-term storage is possible. Often, this means a location which is cool but frost-free. For many years, cellars had been used for this purpose, and in some countries it's common to have a root cellar, especially built with storage in mind. People without cellars, especially in modern urban houses, will have to resort to sheds or garden houses, which, although not ideal, can be perfectly adequate. Now, it's interesting because somebody asked me about a root cellar the other day. I said, are you planning on having a root cellar when you get your land? And I said, what's a root cellar? Thinking it sounded very American. I know they have root beer, you see. And I thought, what's that? I had no idea. And that's interesting, because that's a piece of my basic upbringing on life missing because we don't have a cellar. But a cellar would be a good idea. And so I wonder if we will have to dig a dirty great hole and create one. Well, I still then went on YouTube or, Google. And I had a look to see what a root cellar was because I had no notion of it. And I felt a bit embarrassed that I didn't know something which was very basic. Now, I knew what an ice room or an ice house was because big houses had that. But a root cellar I'd not heard of. I honestly thought it was a cellar in which roots of vegetables or roots of plants were kept, a bit like a seed collection, in that as much as the roots would carry on growing if you put them in the ground. Yeah, that shows how ignorant I am. Potatoes, he says, for example, can be stored for long periods in cool, dark location in paper, hessian or cotton sacks, or even in cardboard boxes. Humidity needs to be low to deter fungal growth, which is why they should not be stored in plastic bags for any period of time. Yeah, and what do you get in the supermarket? You get them in plastic bags and they go green very quickly. The problem with small garden shed is it'll warm up in the spring and tubers may start to sprout roots and shoots. So a cool brick stone outbuilding will enable longer storage. A really hard frost may freeze a wooden shed and all its contents solid, thereby spoiling any produce stored within it when it thaws. So this is really interesting. So these are things that we need to think about. A root cellar. I wonder how deep you have to go to do one of those. Now, I know that when we went to the caves at Cheddar, the Cheddar Gorge, they were a permanent 11 degrees centigrade, come rain or shine, summer or winter. And that's why they put the mature cheese in there to ripen or whatever. And I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? Down in the ground, if you go deep enough, I mean, I'm not talking miles down, but say 10 foot or something, you probably, well, that's a lot of digging, especially with a hand tool. And I always worry that if you dig a hole, it'll fill up with water. Well, obviously rain will get in, but it depends where the water table is, I suppose. So one needs to know where the water table is. I wonder how you find out where the water table is. And I need to get some dowsing rods and do some dowsing. Because when we're on the land, it would be good to know where water is without having to, go and get technology. Right, fruits such as apples and pears can be stored on shelves or in boxes. My dad used to store his apples in the loft. And sometimes they store quite well, and other times they went brown very quickly, probably because of the heat. They need a slightly different environment in that they like the air to be a little moist. Cool, dark outside outhouse is ideal. You can occasionally wet the floor to keep the humidity up. Choose only perfect, unblemished specimens for dry storage. The fruit should not be touching each other, so space them or wrap them in individual paper. This stops the rotting fungi and bacteria spreading from one to another. Greaseproof paper is good, but even newspaper is better than nothing. If you have hundreds of apples, you may not have the patience for wrapping each one, so why not just wrap a few crates worth for the longest storage? Ah, and I guess wooden crates would be good, and I guess you could make those out of pallets. You should be eating them next spring. Note that the fruit that ripens late in the season will keep better. Some varieties, such as Cox and Bramley, keep better than others. Sorry, just moving my feet about here. That's really interesting, isn't it? There's more. There is more, but I didn't want to bore you senseless with all this. We were 15. Well, maybe I'll just get to the end of this page. When produce is stored short-term in a kitchen, it helps if you use a receptacle that allows plenty of ventilation in order to decrease the humidity and therefore the likelihood of rotting due to fungal growths. You can buy special fruit bowls with holes around the bottom, wire baskets, or even the use of a colander. It's a good idea to store bananas separately from other fruits, as when they are yellow, they are already at an advanced stage of ripeness and release a gas called ethylene, which encourages surrounding fruit to ripen faster. Banana trees, usually a metal hook on a stand, oh, I see, the banana trees is not the actual trees we're talking about, are a stylish way of hanging a bunch of bananas, and you could position them at the opposite end of the kitchen. Right, yeah, I always put my bananas at the end of the kitchen because I did hear that it produces some sort of gas thing. In addition, produce, which traditionally grows and ripens in a warm environment, will store better in an average kitchen than in a fridge. Bananas, which of course are from the tropics, for example, will quickly go black if stored in the fridge. And tomatoes, which originate in warm deserts of South America, will ripen properly and keep a better flavour on the kitchen surface rather than in the fridge. And I never put my tomatoes in the fridge. I heard that years ago. And you see people shoving them all in the fridge. And of course, you buy them, don't you, from supermarkets. Well, you do, I don't, but people buy them and they're in the fridge. Incidentally, while we're on the subject of tomatoes and bananas, if you have picked a number of tomatoes which haven't ripened fully at the end of the season, for example, and you want to speed the process up, you can put them near a jar or bag with a ripe banana in a warm room, and the ethylene produced will help speed up the tomatoes, so that's where you can take advantage of it. Hanging is a simple technique. Yes, there's a lot of politicians that might work with. Mainly used for onions and squashes. The best place to hang vegetables for storage is in a dry, cool, airy place which won't be hit by hard frosts. A stone or brick building is ideal as long as it isn't too damp. A garage might suffice as long as it doesn't smell of petrol or oil, but certainly not the warm kitchen, no matter how attractive a string of onions may look. Interesting. Yeah, my onions continually sprout and have green stuff out of them, and so I've got some onions like that. I need to pot them, and then I assume the seeds you could use, and these are from Riverford, so they're organic, so presumably I could pot them and utilize the seeds when they go. Squashes such as marrows and pumpkins can be hung in nets. Just make sure fruits are not touching each other. Save any netting or net bags for this purpose, such as net sacks that stock feed carrots often come in. Oh yeah. Netting bags, or even tights, can be used for hanging onions and garlic, but aren't as picturesque as stringing. Instructions on how to create a string can be found in part two. Some roots, such as carrots, parsnips and beetroots, can be stored in sand or sawdust or peat substitute. The important points are: use sand that is only just moist. If too wet, prepare in advance by spreading out your sand on plastic sheets in the hot sun in the summer, and keep the plastic sheets under the cover. Make layers of sand and roots unwashed, but with excess soil generally brushed off, such as barrels, crates, deep seed trays, making sure the roots don't touch each other. Store the containers in a dry, frost-free place. If they are large, fill them in situ. If you have tried to lift a barrel... Have you ever tried to lift a barrel of sand? No, I haven't. So there you are. And very quickly, clamping is a simple method of storing large quantities of root vegetables outside. It's a technique where indoor storage space is limited, but not so good if you have a hard frost. Basically, it's a pile of roots with straw and earth on top. The following guidelines will help you clamp your roots. Now, I've seen a guy harvest his potatoes and then put them all together, but under a great heap of earth. And it even says that here. Choose a site on the ground unlikely to become waterlogged. Harvest your root crops and allow them to dry on the surface for a couple of hours. Build the clamp. Start with a good layer of straw or bracken. And on top of this, pile your potatoes or other roots in a pyramid. Build the clamp. Start with a good layer of straw. Cover the pile with a layer of straw and bracken and leave to sweat for a day or two, the evaporation of excess moisture. Then cover the straw with a layer of fairly dry dirt, about 15 to 6 inches rather thick, making sure there are small tunnels of straw sticking through the earth along the bottom and chimney along the top. Allow for circulation. Oh, I see. Pat the earth flat with a spade to form a smooth, steep pyramid that rain will easily run off. Make a series of smaller clamps rather than one enormous one. When you want a handful of potatoes, it's not easy to burrow into a clamp and then rebuild it. It's better to dismantle a small clamp and bring a sack full of potatoes into the shed or garage for easy access until the next clamp is needed. What a clever idea. So there we are. How to store your garden produce, sent to me very kindly, shared to you if you're interested in it, as indeed we are. And we are learning stuff at a prestigious rate. And that was one of the things that's always confused me. And that is, you see people when they grow all this string of vegetables and you think, well, when that ripens, how are you going to eat it all? And obviously, you've got to store it. You've got to store it. And these are methods. And I dare say my book that I bought the other day that was recommended to me about the Amish, I think they've got preservation of food techniques. So, you know, we're building up a library of books, which I think is very important in this day and age, more so than just relying on what's online. Of course, it's very handy. Things like YouTube is very handy because you can see people do it and you can appreciate everything. But also having a bit of prior knowledge, reading in downtime when you don't have to look at a screen, is much more rewarding in many ways. I will finish off now, but yesterday was a day of attacking the book. Halfway through now, pretty much, so shouldn't be long before I finish this final proofread. Then I can get someone else to read it, then we'll get those errors in. I know this seems to have taken forever. Believe me, I've lived with this book for over a year now. Not over a year, just under a year. Julia came round and brought with her a new kettle for the van, which was very nice because the other one's handle fell off and we've been precariously lifting it up when it boiled, or after it boiled, with a tea towel. Now we have a handle again, so that's quite handy. I dare say the kettle will find a use in some form or other. Not quite sure yet how, but it's like, don't throw things away because you never know, it may have some usage. Not quite sure what, but I dare say if you, it has no handle, you see, so you could perforate the bottom of the kettle and stick some flowers or a plant, probably not a plant that you want a root veg in because it would be difficult to get it out, but a flower or something in an old kettle would look quite nice. It might rust, I don't know, but anyway. And maybe make it as a hanging basket on a bit of wire, you see. You could probably fashion that in some way. And it would be a flowered kettle. Anyway, they're just some thoughts, random thoughts. Sorry about that. Thank you for listening. If you did, I should go and upload this shortly, and have a lovely day.